Last week, at a fundraiser for a human rights organization in San Francisco, I met a young Iraqi man. As the guests sipped chilled wine and nibbled on dainty little roast beef sliders, he told the story of how he fled from Iraq and ISIS. "They throw gay men from tall buildings," he said, his voice shaking. "But now I'm happy," he said. "I got out, I live in Seattle, I have found a husband." Everyone applauded. I wonder what that young man was thinking as he watched the massacre in the nightclub in Orlando, whether it shook his sense of America as refuge to hear the voices of distraught mothers.
"I don't know where my son is. No one can tell me where my son is. If he's been shot, if he's dead, no one knows."
This is Sandeep Roy for KALW. I wonder what the young man thought when he read what the father of the shooter who unleashed that bloodbath in Orlando said. It was not about religion, he said. His son had come across two men kissing in Miami and was infuriated that his three-year-old son had witnessed it as well. It was as if homophobia, even such deadly homophobia, was the lesser sin, the more justifiable one. It was as if he was saying, better Omar Mateen, the homophobic bigot, than Omar Mateen, the ISIS jihadist. Of course, the lines of demarcation are never that clear. When ISIS released that video showing gay men being thrown off a building in Mosul, Iraq, they were doing it in the name of religion. This is about religion, or at least some barbaric, twisted interpretation of it. This is also about guns and gun control, and a conversation America refuses to have. In a polarized country poised for an election, it is tempting to focus on only one or the other. Donald Trump wants to talk about the dangerous Islamic terrorist.
A radical Islamic terrorist targeted the nightclub.
Barack Obama wants to talk about lethal guns.
This massacre is therefore a further reminder of how easy it is for someone to get their hands on a weapon that lets them shoot people in a school, or in a house of worship, or a movie theater, or in a nightclub.
Other leaders want to talk about anything as long as it's not LGBT or T. Back in India, the Prime Minister Narendra Modi was quick to say he was shocked at the shootout. But Modi could not mention the word gay. In India, after all, gay sex is still criminal in the eyes of the law, and his party has not opposed it. Gay is the word that sticks in the gullet of our public conversations about Orlando, like an errant fishbone. Let's not forget that death, even death so gory, bloody and messy, apparently did not make Omar Mateen recoil as much as two men kissing. In a first world where same-sex marriage is becoming more and more the norm, we sometimes forget that in much of the rest of the world, being LGBT can still be life-threatening. In at least 10 countries, you can die for being gay. Omar Mateen brought that horror home to America. As Muslims around the world embarked on Ramadan, and LGBT Americans embarked on Pride Month, and LGBT Muslims embarked on both without the luxury to choose one but not the other. In the wake of the success of marriage equality in cities like San Francisco and New York, LGBT pride feels just like another festival these days, filled with garlicky fries and warm beer. A friend jokes that it has all become so normalized, the heterosexual onlookers are the ones who are more festively dressed. The actual LGBT marchers are often in sweatpants and Google or Oracle t-shirts, pushing strollers with their toddlers. Yet Orlando reminded us that all that normalcy cannot be normal enough for some. That most basic of human gestures of intimacy, a kiss, can still be deadly. This is Sandeep Roy for KALW.